Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 18. Now, I've got another treat for you this evening that you may not have known. Sister Reed, Janie Reed, also plays the piano and sings, and had the opportunity when she was, were you a teenager or were you in your 20s when you were in Russia? Teenager? Teenager. To go to Russia and ministered over there and got involved. She's got international acclaim. Actually got a very beautiful voice, so you look forward to being able to hear her sing tonight. Plan more than one special, okay? Yeah. Maybe a whole concert. I know who's preaching tonight, so the longer you sing. No. Psalm 18, look at verses 1 and 2 and 30. Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2 and 30. The Bible says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Now notice in verse 2, after he told you all the things that the Lord is to him, David said, in whom I will trust. And in verse 30, he said, he is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Today what we'd like to do is we'd like to talk about trusting in God. Trust in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to speak to your people today. You've spoken to me volumes in the last months and years, really in decades, but mostly in the last months and years about the truth of this passage of Scripture and the necessity of trusting in God. I could probably tell some stories today, Lord, say a few clever things, leave our folks with the instruction, trust in God, and they may not be any better off for having heard those things than when they got here. Today, Father, some have come and they're having trouble trusting you. They're not happy with some of the things that have gone on in their lives, and they're not sure if they can trust you, because they don't want to be let down. They don't want to be hurt in any way. But Father, we're not looking for a man's experiences or clever words. We're looking for your Spirit, Father, to minister the words that are in these two texts to the folks that are gathered here today so that they will be convinced from you through the preaching of the Word of God and the reading of the Word of God, that they will be convinced that they can trust you and should trust you. And I pray, Father, that if they came here weak in their trust of you or questioning whether they should trust you, that they'll leave here today convinced to trust you and relying upon you and different for having heard from you. I can't do that. You can. I pray that you will. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Now look at this text of Scripture, and there are all kinds of ways to introduce it. If you were praying along with me, you know that what we've got to deal with here today is a very simple subject, trust in God. You know, we shouldn't have to really deal with this subject, trust in God, with the people who are saved and Bible-believing. But may I tell you something? You wouldn't admit it and nobody's asking you to. But there are times and there are areas in your life where you don't trust the Lord. You don't. You're used to doing things yourselves. You are used to shying away from pain and suffering, which trusting the Lord might lead you into. You are convinced after years of trying to let God do something that He hasn't done, that maybe you need to take matters into your own hands. And any other number of things that might be going through your head and through your heart about trusting in God. But this text right here says that you're to trust in Him. David said about God, in whom I will trust. And God, listen, did not always deal with David the way that David thought he should have been dealt with. I mean, David, as we talked, I think it was last week, was anointed to be king of Israel when he was 13 or 17 years old and didn't get the throne for about 13 more years. And Saul put him through terrible circumstances that God could have changed. David wasn't going to lift his own hand and hurt Saul in any way. But Saul was a real problem for David. And he wrote this psalm after Saul was done. And you have to know that when David was planning on leaving Israel to go into the land of the Philistines to get away from Saul, he had to be questioning, God, why don't you just deal with this problem? And for whatever reason, God had it figured that David was going to get to that throne when David did, and he did not want to change the timing at all. Did that mean that God was not worthy of David's trust? No, it didn't mean that at all. But you know something? When God doesn't work fast enough for our sakes, or God doesn't work in the way that we want Him to work, we'll take matters into our own hands and get mad at God when they don't work out. You're going to have to trust Him. You're going to have to trust Him. Now, when a reporter goes in to do an investigation, oftentimes he'll ask questions like who, what, when, why, and how. That's not a bad way to approach this text here. You know, who should trust Him? With what should you trust Him? When should you trust Him? Why should you trust Him? How should you trust Him? Those are really good questions to ask of this text, because they're going to help you, hopefully, take another step toward trusting God Almighty. When Bo was just a baby, it was time to take him for swimming lessons. And the guy that taught him his swimming lessons was a guy named Burgess Hickman, who's no longer with us. Burgess was about that tall. Burgess was kind of burly. And Burgess had unorthodox methods for training children to swim. I took Bo over there. I said, okay, we're going to learn to swim. He was still doing the pacifier. I think he was so little, you know. So I said, Burgess, what do we do? He said, here, let me have that boy. And he took him like that and just went, and I was like, whoa! That's no way to train him. Said, yeah, well, he's fighting to not sink. He's starting to learn how to swim. I said, wow. How likely do you think Bo was to trust him on the next move? Not very. But you know something? I'm telling you, by the end of that day, Bo was so ready to go back to swimming lessons the next time, he could hardly wait. What happened? He'd gained his trust. He put him in an awful circumstance in the beginning, one that could have drowned him had we not been there. But he learned to trust him because that man knew something that Bo didn't know, and the only way he was going to learn it was to do what that man said to do. And so when you consider your life in Christ, if you're saved, or your life as a Christian if you're not saved, but are thinking about becoming saved by trusting Jesus Christ, the question, first of all, is who should trust Him? And the answer is you. Now the next question. No, who should trust Him? Anybody that doesn't trust Him fully yet should learn to trust Him more. You know what? I'm looking around. I love preaching here, and I love preaching Sunday mornings. I love preaching Sunday evenings because so many of our teens come back and young people. But you know something? Teens and young people are not so inclined to trust Jesus Christ completely. Not really. Not really. Because you're afraid that He's going to lead you in places you don't want to go and lead you away from things that won't fulfill your lusts and aspirations. May I tell you something? I would a lot more soon trust God than I would my own instincts in that matter. Who should trust Him? You should. With what should you trust Him? The investigator would say, everything. Wait a minute, who's reading my notes? That's the last part of this. You know, when you say everything, it's true. But the thing is, when you give something that broad and say we should trust Him with everything, that kind of leaves out that pet thing that you don't want to trust Him with. And we can't do that. We've got to be a little bit more thorough in our examination of the things that we should entrust to the Lord God. You ought to trust Him, first of all, with your soul. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you have a soul, and God loved you so much that He allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to shed His blood to pay for the sins of your soul so that your soul would not have to go to hell but could spend eternity in heaven. Listen, listen very carefully. If you, listen carefully, if you can truthfully examine your heart right now and ask yourself what you are trusting for salvation, whatever that answer is, if it's not Jesus Christ exclusively, then you're not saved. And if you're not saved, your destination is already fixed by the Bible. In other words, you don't have to wait to find out what God would say when He judges you in the white throne. The Bible already tells you. If a person dies without Christ, the Lord God will say to him, and I know this sounds horrible, but it's true, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And you say, "Well, you just don't know me well enough to say that to me, preacher. I'm not going to hell." I wouldn't dare judge you in that matter. But then again, I don't have to, because the Bible already has. The Bible tells us in John chapter 12, verse 48, that you're going to be judged by the words of God. And I just quoted you a scripture, and if you don't have Christ as your Savior, your destination is fixed. Some people trust their good works. Some people trust their religion. Some people trust their tradition. Some people trust their looks. Y'all don't have any business doing that. They are not trustworthy. Jesus Christ is trustworthy. And you can trust Him with your soul. You need to trust Him with your soul. And when you do, your destination changes. You say, "Where do I go then?" Straight to heaven. When you die, and you begin to enjoy the benefits of eternal life the moment you trust Him. You know what, I know you can't imagine this, because every time you see me, my hair gets a little grayer and my body gets a little shorter because gravitation takes its road, and my face gets a little wrinklier, and you say, "That guy has eternal life? Wow, if that's what that is, I don't want any. Look what it's done to him." No, you're looking at the outward appearance. Inside of me resides Jesus Christ, and I am living forever right now. Wow! And anybody here who has trusted Jesus Christ is alive forever right now. You don't have to wait. You got it right now. What a wonderful thing. So you can trust Him with your soul. But listen, you can trust Him with your life. Some people trust God with their soul and never bother to trust Him with their life. They trust their life insurance policy and their health insurance policy and their burglar alarm and all those other kind of things, and all their concealed handgun licenses, which are not such a bad idea, but they trust all those things to take care of their life. You know something? You can trust him with your life. He's going to take care of you. Why? Because that's a purchased possession. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost when you get saved. He's going to take care of it. As a matter of fact, God will take better care of your body than you will. You say, well, I saw what he did to Paul. He whipped him 195 times, nearly buried him under a pile of rocks, had him thrown in jail and beat up and every other kind of thing. Yeah, but that's just what Paul needed to. And Paul said so. He said, I take pleasure in this stuff, in reproaches and in persecutions. He told him, bring it on, man. I need this. It was helping him in the gospel. I'm glad I don't need that. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him with your health. Now listen, let me just say this real carefully. There is a balance. I'll listen to Christian radio every once in a while, and I'm telling you, when I'm ready to listen to somebody preach, and I flip on satellite radio and I'm over on the Christian station and they're talking about vitamin B12. I'm like, that is not why I tuned in here. I was looking for somebody to give me something from the Word of God to nourish my soul. But you know something? There is a balance. You ought to take good care of your body. You shouldn't abuse it. You'll have to live with the consequences of that abuse. You ought to take care of yourself, but you ought to take care of your soul. In other words, your health is in the hands of God Almighty, and you ought to trust your health to Him, because the Bible gives you a lot of instruction in Proverbs that when you fear the Lord and you follow His ways, your days are prolonged on the earth. There is a spiritual and physical benefit to following the words of God. But that doesn't mean that you can abuse your body and eat everything you want to eat, drink everything you want to drink, smoke everything you want to smoke, chew everything you want to chew, and then just, amen, thank you. And then just say to God, oh, and by the way, would you take care of this? There's a balance, see? There's a balance. You ought to trust him with your health. Trust him with your spouse. Trust him with your spouse. You can't be with your spouse all the time, but you can pray and ask God to take care of your spouse, and God will do it. Trust him with your spouse. Trust him with your family. You say, I'm raising kids the best way that I know how. You know, one of the best things you can do for your children when you're raising them is pray for them every single day. You can trust the Lord. You can trust him with your family. You say, but what if he puts one of my children through a terrible hardship? He knows better what they need than you do. Well, say, my children aren't doing what they ought to do. I know about that. I trust God more than I trust myself to know exactly what they need. You can trust him with your children. You can trust him with your occupation. I don't like my job. I like mine, excuse me. I don't want you to misunderstand what we're talking about here. There are times when you are in a labor situation. It's not good. But you know something? There may very well be something that God wants you to learn in that situation, and he doesn't want you to change it until you've learned it. You have to trust him about that. You see, when I got into the ministry, I had been in the banking business, and so I had beautiful furniture that looked like this beautiful pulpit up here and leather chairs and all that other kind of stuff, and a wife that was used to her husband coming home smelling as good when he got home as when he left. And I got to the Bible college and started needing a job, and I ended up working for $5 an hour pouring concrete. I didn't even smell good when I left the house for all the stuff that had piled on me the day before. And I did that for 2 years, and you probably scratch your head, what in the world was a guy that was doing what you were doing ending up out there, you know, burning metal, and we called it welding, but it really wasn't. I was just burning metal, trying to stick some of it together, and pouring concrete. What were you doing all that for? God knew something I didn't know, and I needed that. You understand? Plus, a great relationship formed with the man that I was working with, and to this day, I love him. You can trust God with your home. You can trust God with literally everything. People say this economy is shaky. Oh, boy, tell me about it. People say, well, the Dow Jones goes up and then the Dow Jones goes down. There's a reason for that. The reason is that the people who play in that big time are making gobs and gobs of money when it goes up and gobs of money when it goes down. And then they get on there and say, whoo, bad things are going to happen. Duh. You know that. I know that. You say, well, what are we going to do when that time comes? Listen, listen. It's two words. Trust God. And the more you learn to trust Him now, the easier it will be to trust Him then when the things go a little bit more awry. Trust God. You say, I don't know if I can trust Him. I don't think He understands the gold market. I don't think He understands Dow Jones and NASDAQ. I think God knows something about how to provide for your needs that they don't know. That's what I think. If He needs to, He can get up some buzzards and send them your way and send you something to eat. It might be hot. Might not be appetizing, but it'll be nourishing. Didn't He take care of Jews out in the wilderness for 40 years and there was no fountain, only a rock, and there was no food, only manna? If He can feed millions of people in a wilderness with manna and give them water out of a rock, I think He can take care of you. I think He's trustworthy. You can trust Him literally with everything. When should you trust Him? You ought to wait till things get so bad that you can't stand it and then turn it over to Him? That's the way most of us are. We live our lives like, okay, I know what happens. I wake up at 5:30 in the morning. I know what happens. I go to bed at 9:30 at night, or I wake up at 7:30 in the morning, I go to bed at 11:30 at night, or however you run your schedule, or I go to bed at 9 o'clock and wake up at noon. I don't, you know, how you run your schedule. And everything's hunky-dory, and as long as you can put gas in the car and turn it on and it runs, you're going like, wow, this is good, and you go down to the bank and you've got money in the bank and everything's good like that, and you're not bothering to pray, and you're not bothering to concern yourself with trusting God, and all of a sudden, wham, the wheels come off, and you're like, oh, God, help me. He's like, who are you? Well, I'm your child. Don't you remember 15 years ago I got saved? I know, but that was the last time I've heard from you. What's been going on the last 15 years? Well, the preacher said to come trust you, and I'm here to trust you today. Don't wait till it gets bad and chaotic to throw out and call upon God and say, oh, God, what are we going to do? Trust Him now when things are smooth, when things are going well, and then you can trust Him in the raging storms of life. You know, some of us really manage, and I'm talking about good Christians, manage our lives and only lean on the Lord when we can no longer hold up under the pressure. That's not the way to learn how to do this. You don't want a roller coaster existence with God. But may I tell you something? If you learn to trust Him now when chaos does come into your life, you'll be able to trust Him then. Years ago, E.V. Hill, some of you know who that was. He's a great preacher of days gone by. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But years ago, E.V. Hill was preaching his wife's funeral. See, he led his wife to the Lord. He baptized his wife, and then he married her, and they were together until she died. She died of an illness. She died in a hospital. And while they were there, E.V. Hill was pleading with God in the chapel to save her life, to spare her. They were that closely connected. It's what any spouse would do under the circumstances. He's preaching his wife's funeral. And during then, he was talking about what it was like in the hospital, praying for her to be spared, praying for her to be healed. And while he was praying, he was sure that he was impressed in his heart by God, that God had spoken to him, not audibly, but, you know, the impression to the heart, and said to him, trust me. Trust me. And so he felt great. He came away from the prayer meeting. He was going, God said, trust me. He's going to heal my wife. And within a couple of days, she died. And he had that initial reaction like, God, you let me down. You didn't do what I thought you said you were going to do. You told me to trust you, and I was trusting you to keep her alive, and you didn't keep her alive. And that tape runs to the end. It was an old cassette tape. When he finishes telling that story, and I was kind of like, wow, that's a strange place to end. And somebody told me that thing you didn't know goes to the other side. And I played it back over on the other side. And you know what he said? He said, after she died, I went back to that chapel. And I began to pour out my heart to God why he let my wife die after I trusted him to keep her alive. And he says, the impression he got on his heart was, I wasn't asking you to trust me to keep her alive. I was asking you to trust me. Trust me, he said. Trust me, he said. Trust me. She's better off with me than she was with you. She's better off with me healed and in a brand new body to come than she was in that failing body. Trust me. And he said, you know, that guided him through that. Now I'll tell you something. Don't wait till the time of chaos. You trust him. And if he takes you on a path and journey that you didn't anticipate, trust him. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. Why should you trust him? Because he's trustworthy. Look what the Bible says here in verse 2. The Lord's my rock. Look, if you have a foundation of Jesus Christ and that is a rock, there is nothing that's going to shake that foundation. When we built this church, we didn't put this on a slab. This building is not sitting on the grade, as most of you know. There are piers drilled down in here, 12 feet deep, bailed out on the bottom, and this slab is sitting above the ground, so when the ground moves up and down, this thing won't move. But may I tell you something? There is a storm that can blow this house down. There is an earthquake that can take this place down. There is some way to destroy this building. We made it as strong as we can, but it's not foolproof. May I tell you something about the rock of Jesus Christ? There's nothing that can beat that rock. If you've got your feet on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it doesn't make any difference what storm of life comes. That anchor will hold. That's why you can trust him. Nothing can move him. If the devil could have defeated him, he would have defeated him at Calvary, and he didn't defeat him. Look what else he says. He's my fortress. Do you know sometimes there is nothing you can do to defend yourself, and the only thing you can do is just run for cover? Have you ever been that way in your life where it was coming at you from a direction you didn't know how to stop it, and then you realized the best thing for me to do is just run for cover and let God deal with it? He's your fortress. I'm telling you, if you haven't gone through an experience like that in life, you probably will. The Bible says here, he is my... Now, he didn't say he is the deliverer. He didn't say he is a deliverer. He said he's my deliverer. You ever found yourself in hot water and you needed some way to get out? That's the deliverer. You can trust him. He is my God, David said. Years ago, one of my friend's grandfather was in the hospital, and we had been talking about telling other people about Jesus Christ. And he said, you know something? I've never talked to my grandpa about Jesus Christ. I don't know if my grandfather is saved or not. And he came to me. He said, would you go with me to the hospital? He's sick, and I want to find out whether he's saved. They lived in two different cities, but his grandpa was down with us. And so I said, sure, I'll go. So I went over there and walked into his room, and so we chit-chat for a little bit like that. And then finally my friend said to his grandpa, he says, Grandpa, I need to know something. I want to ask you about Jesus. I want to know about your relationship with Jesus. And you know what Grandpa said? He looked up and smiled like that, and he said, you talking about my Jesus? You talking about my Jesus? And went on to explain how he had gotten saved and stuff like that, and then mourned that he didn't tell his grandson about Jesus, and his grandson was mourning that he didn't tell his grandpa about Jesus, but he said, that's my Jesus. And you know what David said? That's my God. You said, there's a whole lot of difference between that God up there. People say, oh yeah, I pray all the time. I pray to the man upstairs. You ever had anybody tell you that? I don't pray to the man upstairs. I pray to my God and my Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, it's personal with us. It gets that way. The Bible says he's your strength. He is your buckler. That's a shield. He is your horn of salvation. He is your high tower. His way, verse 30 says, is perfect. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Listen, right now, before we go to the last point, everybody's going like, there's an area in your life where you're not trusting God. You say, how do you know that? I don't know you well enough to point out that area in your life. But I know God, and I know His relationship with us in this church. And when He has something that He wants you to know in His own way, He shows me from the Scripture, and I tell you. And this happens to be the message, and this happens to be the day. And you happen to be the people that are here. And you might be saying in your mind, boy, I wish old so-and-so was here. They sure could hear this. Listen, they're not here, and you are. And God, yes, exactly. God knew you would be here. You need right now, if you want to get something really good out of this message, examine your own heart and say, what area of my life am I holding out? Where am I not trusting in God? And when the Lord shows you, and when you are honest enough to admit it to Him, every one of these characteristics that He just mentioned here in verse 2 and in verse 30 will somewhere exactly cover that area of need. You might need deliverance. You might need a fortress. You might need strength. You might need a buckler. You might need salvation. You might need a high tower. You might need a perfect way. You may need direction. Whatever it is, you can trust God. He said, well, He hadn't shown me anything yet. That's because He doesn't want you to know. In my life, looking back, I've lived as a Christian and attempted to trust God. And I say that because there are times in my life I just haven't. I've run to gather up my own fortress and try to deal my own way. And I'm looking at that and I'm saying, man, this is miserable. I can't get it done in my own life. Imagine being God and trying to do it to everybody's at the same time. I finally just said, Lord, You've been proving Yourself to be better at it than I am. Here, You take over. And it's amazing how He deals with these things. But you know something? Here's what I'm trying to say. If God were to show me, and think in your own life, this is probably true in your own life, if God were to have shown me back here 7 years ago or 15 years ago or however long ago it was, that I had to go through something that I went through on one of those journeys to get where I am today, I would have never taken that journey. Amen. That's why He doesn't tell you, because He knows you'll back out. But if His way is perfect, it doesn't make any difference if it takes you to the precipice and causes you to fear for your very life or puts you through some sort of a hardship. God's in charge, and you can trust Him. And when He gets you out on the other side and you look back, I mean, you'll look at that and you'll go, thank God for that. If I hadn't gone through that, I would not be here today. And I can honestly say that about everything that's happened in the past since 1986 when I began to trust the Lord. How should I trust Him? With all your heart. Trust in the Lord, the Bible says. With all thine heart, lean not into thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. With all thine heart. You see, here's the deal. It's very simple. Here's your heart, and in it you are trusting God, but you have this one little area of reservation about which He is dealing with you right now. That little area of withholding trust from God seems like such a small thing that God should just ignore it and let you go on and continue to try to manage your way through it. But may I tell you something? That's like walking around with a little splinter in your foot. Have you ever walked around with a little splinter in your foot? Didn't it just drive you nuts? It became the sole attention of your mind until you got out. And it wasn't even big enough to cause you to bleed. But every time you took a step, what's the matter with you? Oh, I got a little splinter in my foot. Well, it's a little bitty splinter, you big baby. It can't hurt you. What are you fussing about? Well, it bothers me. And every time I take a step, everything in my mind, everything in my body says, get that splinter out of there. When you reserve a little peace in your heart and don't trust Him with all of your heart, That little piece becomes the source of aggravation and gains all of your attention so that truthfully you're not even trusting Him with the rest of your heart. Because until you get this problem solved, you can't trust Him with anything else. This has taken over your mental capacity to handle anything else. You ever been there before? He said, trust Him with all your heart. What does that mean? It means you got to take this little thing and trust Him with it and let Him deal with it. Now, you're going to get something out of this today. Over my dead body. No. You're going to get something out of this today if you want to, because He's spoken very personally to you from the Scripture about how and why to trust Him. You came here saying, just big old thing, I'm just going to handle it myself. Go ahead, and it'll be the same big old mess a year from now as it is right now, or worse. You can't do it. You're not equipped for it. He is. How you trust Him? Trust Him with all your heart. Trust Him. Listen. Listen. If you're here today without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, listen. Trust Him exclusively. What does that mean? Don't trust anything else. Nothing else you've ever trusted before. Quit trusting that. Trust Jesus Christ. Why? Listen to what He said. Listen. This is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're going to have to trust Him. You say, well, what if He doesn't get me there? He will. He will. You can trust Him. If you're here today without Christ, trust Him exclusively to save you. And if you're here today with Christ, trust Him to take you through that area of weakness in which you came here this morning. He can handle it. He will handle it. He's got it all covered. Just get real close to Him and let Him work it out. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the opportunity to open the Scripture. Couldn't think of a better topic today to speak to our folks about than this one topic, trusting You. It ought to be elementary for us, but it's not. Father, today, as Randy prayed in our office before we even started the sermon today, pray we don't just get it, but pray that we're different, that we change as a result of what You showed us in the Scripture. Now, Father, there's some here today, undoubtedly, that are having trouble with an area of trusting You. There's some, Your Father, that just hadn't trusted You yet. They got their lives mapped out solidly, and You're not in the picture. There's some here today that are lost and need to trust You and be saved. Let me speak first of all to those that are saved with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You come in here today and God's spoken to you about an area of trusting Him. You want me to pray for you? Slip your hand up, slip it right back down. I'm not taking roll or count. Okay, all over the building. Father, You see these hands that have been come up and gone back down? These folks want to trust You more. Please, Holy Spirit of God, help them. Help them to remember what they've heard. Give them assurance that they're on the right track in trusting You and that You are trustworthy to take care of this for them. You're not going to let them down. They may not like the path You take. We understand that, but you're not going to let them down. Now, you're here today. There are many Christians, folks. There are many Christians that raised their hands, so they wanted God to help them become more trusting of Him. Maybe you're here today without Christ, and you say, preacher, I sure wish You'd pray for me like You prayed for them. I need Christ. I need Christ. I haven't trusted Him. If you're here today without Christ and you want me to pray for you to trust Jesus Christ, that's not going to save you, but it'll give you some help. Raise your hand up and slip it right back down. Say, preacher, you need to pray for me. I'm not trusting Jesus Christ alone. Okay. All right. Somebody else? Amen. Somebody else? Anybody else? All right. Father, Seen a couple of hands here. Perhaps this is about assurance of salvation and not just salvation. In other words, trusting something other than just Jesus Christ for their salvation, concerned perhaps about some other element, maybe keeping commandments or maybe not having a life that's what they think it should be or whatever the case may be. I don't even know what it could be, Father, but you do. I pray, Father, that before they leave here today, we'll have the opportunity to visit, perhaps see in the Bible why you are completely trustworthy for salvation. Perhaps they're not saved. Maybe that's the cause. But we're asking you, please, Father, to allow them to know when they leave here that they can trust you completely for salvation and know from the Scripture that they're saved. And we ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages, or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.